The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, and then verses 32 to 36. Love for enemies. But I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who ill-treat you. If you love only the people who love you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners do that. And if you lend only to those from whom you hope to get it back, why should you receive a blessing? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. No, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. You will then have a great reward, and you will be children of the Most High God. For He is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen.
So, as we heard from our reading, that Paul writes of faith, hope, and love. And he says that the greatest of the three is love. And Jesus said that if we love one another, other Christians, that proves that we are really his disciples. And so to claim to be a Christian and not to love one another is simply to tell an untruth. But Jesus teaches us not only to love our fellow Christians. After all, anyone can do that, should be able to. Jesus says that we are to love our enemies, even those who are unkind and unjust to us. And in order to obey this command of Jesus, we need to have some understanding of what Christian love is about. We have only one word for love, and it conveys a variety of feelings. We use it to say that we love our parents, or that we love a girl or a boyfriend, or that we love our relations. You know, we use one word, love, to explain different feelings. The Greek had four words for love. And I'll try to pronounce them correctly. First, eros. And this word means physical love. Second was storge, and it is used to show love of father or mother for a son or a daughter, and the love of brothers and sisters. And the third word, philia, which means warm affection between people, friends who are dear to one another. And the fourth word, agape. And this is the word used in the New Testament when it says that we are to love one another and our enemies. Now, apparently, this word was hardly used by the Greeks before New Testament times. It's almost as though it was a new word for a new feeling. But what does this word mean? Matthew tells us what Christian love is like, and we read about that this morning. Matthew, the passage that tells us to love our enemies. Find that in Luke as well. We read that, didn't we? But then why are we to love our enemies? seems a strange request to love our enemies. But I think it's because this is the way to be like God. The Bible tells us that God makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil, that he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, if you lived in a dry, parched land, the crops would fail and you would starve. And so to get rain was a blessing from God. Good and bad received that rain. And so we see that God sends his blessings on all people. He is kind and loving to all people, good and bad. And so we've got a picture of what Christian love means. It means that no matter how anyone treats us, we will never hate them. We will never seek revenge. They may hate us, even try to harm us, but we will never hate them or do anything unkind to them. You see, Christian love means goodwill to all people. It means we can never say, "I will never forgive you." It means we can never seek to get our own back, to take revenge. It means we can never return a bad turn with a bad turn, or to harm someone because we have been harmed ourselves. Now, if nations and people were to act like this, with this sort of love, it would make such a difference to our communities and to the world, wouldn't it? There'd be no more hatred, no gang violence, no interfaith problems, no more wars. If only we could seek to love one another in that way, to seek the good of each other. So this love that Jesus calls us to is quite different from what we usually call love. Different from the love that we feel for mother and father, or from falling in love. So often, really, we can't help loving our parents or falling in love. These things take very little effort on our part. Such love comes from the heart and doesn't really take too much effort. But if we've got to show this goodwill to everyone, those we don't like, those who don't like us, and to the people who have treated us unkindly, that takes much effort on our part. It's a thing of the will. It doesn't come easy, and it doesn't just happen. However, I would suggest to you that we're not expected to love or feel the same towards everyone. It would be unnatural and impossible. But what we are commanded to do is to never to harm anyone. In fact, we are to go even further and to seek at all times the good of others. But having said that, Christian love is not an easygoing, sentimental thing. It doesn't mean that we let people walk all over us as if it makes no difference. And it doesn't mean that we, our actions, are bereft of discipline. If we're seeking the best for someone, that love surely includes discipline. And we are to stop them doing wrong and punish them when they have done wrong. But to punish someone in Christian love means doing so in a just way, and to do so in a way that helps them to become better men and women. The punishment must never be about getting revenge or to hurt, or because it gives us pleasure to punish. Our aim in punishing an individual should be to make that person a better person. And then finally, Jesus, he is our perfect example of Christian love. No matter what they did to him, he loved them. They could reject, insult, betray him. They could curse him, crown him with thorns and crucify him. But still, he loved them. Nothing could stop him loving them. And it's his example we are to follow. And that is a tall order, isn't it? Christian love surely is the greatest thing in the world. And it is our duty to show that love. As Christians, we are to act like Jesus. And that means we refuse to hate anyone. It's not easy. It won't be easy. It requires not just an instinctive response of the heart, but much effort of the will. And when it is necessary to administer punishment, it must always be carried out in a way that helps the person to become a better person. And let us remember that Jesus loves us with all our faults and whatever we may have done. Jesus continues to love us. And when it comes to love, he is our supreme example. Amen. The love issue is a big one, isn't it? We all need love. And the good news is that we don't have to live without it. God loves us completely and unconditionally. And his love is the same for everyone. Even the evil dictator, the serial murderer, and also the worst person you can think of, God loves them all. True, he hates their sin, just as he hates yours and mine. But he loves the person. And I think that's hard to grasp, isn't it? But it's true. The Bible tells us so. Karl Barth was one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century. And once when he was leading a seminar of distinguished thinkers, he was asked what he considered the most profound theological truth he had preached, taught, or researched in all his years of advanced academic pursuit. And after a thoughtful pause, he replied in the words of the children's song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Words that I remember singing at Sunday school, sung them as an adult on occasions. You too may know the words. Do you remember them? Do you remember the song? Join with me if you know the song and the words. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And again, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And God is always there for you. No, the love of people may change depending on what we have done, but God's love does not change. And also the love we receive from others so often depends on how valuable we are to them. But God says we are all valued to Him all the time. And that's amazing. That's wonderful. You know, when two people fall in love, they want to be with one another. They can never see enough of one another. And when we feel God's love for us, in us and around us, we surely want to be in His presence all the time. And it's that love that makes us eager to come to worship. Someone has said that to be a worshipper is to fall in love with God, the author of love, and accept the love He has for you. It's when we worship the God of love that a wonderful thing happens. We are filled with His love and we become a channel for conveying His love to other words. In other words, His love for us causes us to grow in love for other people. One John chapter 4 and verse 8 we read, "He who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. God gave His Son in sacrificial love. Jesus laid down His life, not just for His friends, but for those who were His enemies. And God's love is the supreme example of sacrificial love. God has shown us His love, and the challenge is there for us, how we will respond to the greatest love of all, the love which Paul says is greater than faith and hope.